The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
Welcome to the program. Bahram Modamedian is our guest. He is Executive Director of Portfolio Management and Chief Strategy Officer at USAA Real Estate. He's also a member of the firm's investment committee and responsible for investments made by USAA. And he also oversees separately managed accounts and is responsible for initiating new investment strategies and vehicles. One of his areas of expertise, though, is artificial intelligence, and that is why we ask him to the program today. There's a tremendous amount of interest around AI and its applications to the real estate business and to the investment and wealth management business in general. So Bahram Modamedian joins us by phone from San Antonio, Texas, home of the famous Riverwalk, the historic Alamo, many other attractions, including the San Antonio Spurs. It's also home, though, to USAA Real Estate. Bahram Modamedian, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. I really appreciate you taking the time. And talk about the current state of artificial intelligence. What constitutes, first of all, really, this is one of the things I don't want to just skip over, is what constitutes artificial intelligence? Would it be something as simple as what we consider simple today, something like Google Maps or Waze or autonomous vehicles? Is that artificial intelligence? Where do you draw the line on what is AI versus just simple technology?
Yes, everything that you mentioned are considered AI. So the way computer programs help us make our decisions or help us better improve our life quality is considered some kind of artificial intelligence. And the gadgets that we use, a lot of them have those incorporated, like your Siri on your Apple, or you know, the Amazon, the box that you're talking to. They all using some form of artificial intelligence.
So, how far along is AI at this stage? Do you? We're very early on, as seems to be kind of the attitude, but. What's your assessment of where artificial intelligence is today, and maybe how quickly you think the evolution is going to take place?
You know, most people are familiar with five stages of AI. I think we are in stage three. This is where AI is domain-specific and has domain-specific expertise. We have been very successful in creating what I call a narrow AI systems that are good at doing a specific task. And for example, AI understands natural language, as I was just talking about, but it cannot cross the street. And the AI program that crosses the street does not understand the natural language. So I think, to your point, we tend to overestimate the effect of technology in the short term and underestimate its effect in the long term. Right now, everybody thinks AI is be all to everyone. We are a little bit overestimating, and we may be underestimating in the long term.
Let me get back to those five stages you mentioned. Just go ahead and tick them off for us. What are the five stages?
No, that's a good question. The five stages is, first is using computer science as a rule-based system. That's stage one, this historic programming that everybody's used to and they've learned in school. Stage two is a context awareness and retention. This is where algorithm builds up a body of information about the specific domain that is being applied to. So this is example would be the robo-advisors and so on. Stage three is domain-specific expertise. This is a system where you can develop expertise in a specific domain that goes beyond the capability of us humans because of the large amount of information that needs to be accessed, processed, in order to make decisions. And example of that would be Google's DeepMind, where they beat AlphaGo, and especially recently when they beat AlphaGo, they call it AlphaGo Zero. And then stage four is when machines start reasoning. We are not there yet. This is an algorithm of what we call the theory of mind, and they trying to for the machine to actually be able to make reasoning like humans. And stage five is self-aware systems. This is what, you know, technical term for it is artificial general intelligence, really getting at the human level. And this is the goal of many people working in the AI field. They're trying to create systems that have human-like intelligence. And in order to get there, there are two ways. One, how they're going with DeepMind, and the second, looking into our brains and the neurons in our brains and kind of reverse engineer to see how the brain works. So they're trying to tackle it in those two ways.
So stage five would be Android land, right? There, where we've got people who can interact with us, they can reason, they've got manual dexterity, they can clean the house, they can build skyscrapers, they can basically, without any moral implications, do all the work of society, basically slave labor, and we become an extremely wealthy society by then and do what we want with our times.
I don't know if I would say that, but yes, you know, it's a very autonomous general intelligence machine. The best way I can describe it is if you used to watch Star Trek, is the Data in the Star Trek.
Well, there you go. I mean, here we are. We might as well just design a future society, Bahram, as long as we're talking about artificial intelligence. Obviously, that's where I was going with it. This is the kind of excitement that does swirl around it. Obviously, that's quite a ways off to get to that point. But nonetheless, it gives us something to look forward to. And as you say, we underestimate the impact of technology in the long run. And I think what I just said is an example of overestimating it in the short term. But let's talk about currently. Are there a couple of standout examples you could identify of how AI is currently being used? And it would be particularly useful if it was in the real estate space or maybe the investment wealth management business and anything like that.
Let me give you a couple of examples. Obviously, real estate is in early steps, but some of the bigger companies that have been their digital native. A good example is e-commerce. In e-commerce, the tenants of our warehouses, more sophisticated tenants of our warehouses, they use AI for price prediction, pricing at the timing of the day. So if you're, let's say, they have a higher price before 5 p.m. because they know the person wants to put the order in before they leave their desk, but then maybe a lower price after 6 p.m. Item categorization, attribution analysis, or attribution extraction from the data on the items that they're selling. They try to optimize their experience of a shopper on their website and their navigation experience, if you would, and then really use the AI. I know Amazon uses AI for product recommendation, their product recommendation engine, which basically drives about 35% of the sales at Amazon, I think. It's using AI. The second good example is natural language processing. This is the interaction between a human and a computer using language, but also it could be a computer reading documents and understanding it and kind of summarizing the relevant element for you, and then vision and image recognition and such. So there's a lot of examples around this, and we probably touch it, I don't know, 20 to 50 to 100 times a day, and we're not even aware of it that we're using it.
Interesting. So let's talk about maybe an example of AI where we're on the cusp of developing it. It's something that's fairly close to coming to market that you might be excited about, whether it's in the real estate or investment space or something related, at least in the business field. What do you see that we're close to bringing to market, Bahram?
Yeah, there could be many applications of AI to the investment world, and you can try to apply it any which way you want. I think the key opportunity is to provide analysis that could make three key elements. One is to help with the business and investment decisions that would improve or optimize performance in the investment world. Second is develop a product that would help managing the risk. And the third, I would say, is using AI to accelerate human learning and improving the efficiency of humans and maybe even reducing the error rate. So big picture, professionals that want to use AI, they got to remember that machine is good at certain things. Machines are good in, you know, taking large sets of data, analyzing it, and then providing some kind of an insight or an answer to a specific question. But us humans are good at creativity, gaining knowledge from a specific task that we are doing, but then applying it to that knowledge to other tasks and stuff. So the key here is investment professionals that want to use AI, they need to figure out how to optimize a computer science problem, which is not a hard thing, but really figuring out what to optimize, that's what they need to really figure out. And then they can apply it to any aspects of their business.
So given what AI is capable of and the excitement surrounding it, what level of investment have you been seeing into AI? And I think we could look at this maybe a couple different ways. You have your venture capitalists that are providing the seed money for or even beyond seed money for organizations that are working on AI applications. Then there's actual companies that could just invest in AI for their specific purposes, hiring the technical talent and saying, this is what we need to accomplish. Is it happening on both fronts, and to what degree?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions in there. It is happening on all fronts, but there is no cookie-cutter answer. I guess it depends on the company, it depends on their management, it depends on the resources that they have available and the resources they want to commit to this. Everybody can load their data into a database, right? But doing something with that data in terms of AI and machine learning application, that's where you realize potential structural problems that you may have and that you need to resolve. And obviously there are consultants out there that they can do this, and they represent that they can do it all. But, you know, you can pretty much assume about 80 to 90% of them that they're selling their AI capability is really more of a PR, because they don't know your business. They don't know our, like, real estate industry business. And there's only 10, 20% of what they're selling could have a promise. So as an organization, we need to, or the real estate industry, we need to be paying a close attention to who and what can actually generate return on investment, and then either team up with them or, you know, use their expertise. And then depending on the resources that we want to spend, we could even try to hire internally and try to see if an organization can do it internally.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, most AI products are off the shelf, whether you're talking about Google Maps or Google Earth, or you're talking about autonomous vehicles being built by tech companies and car companies. How much, and I don't even know if this is a fair question for you, Bahram, but do you have a sense for how much customized development is going on? For instance, what you were talking about, whether it you mentioned partnership, but also bringing talent in-house and just saying, we need you to design this specific system or application. How much of that is going on?
That is an interesting question. I think today there is a lot of custom jobs, because there is no specific platform out there that can actually do this. So a lot of people are spending or trying to spend time and effort to see if there is any applications. And I think on that front, probably about 15 or 20% of the firms doing that. There's another 20 to 30% of the firms out there that are actually observing and trying to see, or they're evaluating their options, if you would, trying to see what and how they can participate and do this. And then the other 50% are either unaware or they're not focused on it.
Interesting. So we used to talk about ASPs all the time, application service providers. You don't hear that acronym used so much anymore, maybe because it's just become part of the whole firmament of the business and technology world. But is that what we're talking about here in some cases, an ASP that would be hired to come up with or is it a different vernacular when you're talking about artificial intelligence, a different category of service provider?
Most artificial intelligence firms that are not part of large tech companies are very small in nature. They're shops of, let's say, 10 or maximum, 40, 50 people. And they do not have, they're like, I don't know, Yardies of the world 25 years ago. And they will need time to think about various industries, and the whole field is wide open to them. Why should they come to real estate versus utility versus manufacturing? They need to pick which vertical they're going to spend their time on, because they will also need to develop their knowledge base, expertise in that particular business to be able to be effective and sell their services.
Now, how did you become involved in artificial intelligence, Bahram? What got you involved? I don't know if you have a technical degree or this is something that you have delved into and developed knowledge about, but how did your involvement begin?
I really got involved with the initial AlphaGo back in 2016. I was very... very impressed with what these guys were able to do, because as you may know, that the game of Go has a lot, or trillions and trillions of potential outcomes, so you cannot really pin it down, or you cannot program it like you can program a chess move. And that's what really got me excited and got my juices flowing, because I just wanted to see how we can potentially use that to our advantage.
And just to reiterate, you had mentioned earlier, AlphaGo is the first computer program to defeat a professional human Go player. Is that accurate?
That is said accurately. The AlphaGo program beat Lee if I spell it correctly, Sidol. And Lee Sedol is a world champion in AlphaGo, and in the game of Go, and AlphaGo beat him. And then what Google has come up with since, this happened last year, they've come up with AlphaGo Zero. So the way I can describe it is the initial AlphaGo in 2016, that machine observed and learned from humans by watching humans play thousands and thousands of time and learning the moves they're making, and then with that knowledge and training, beat the human being.
So learning
3-1.
Learning machines.
Yeah, it was a machine learning tool, if you would. And now with AlphaGo Zero, the technology has evolved where the machine learns by itself. You just tell them what the rules are, and it plays with itself, and it learns. And then it learns enough so when they put it together, and they didn't have it play with human being, they had it play with AlphaGo, the 2016 version, it was able to beat it after about, I think, 2 days of training. And then after about 20 days of training, it was able to beat it 100 times in a row. And it was making moves that humans have never observed before.
Wow.
So that's an and on top of that, it was using less computations and less power to do that. So this was all very interesting to me. And then coming back to your original question, what's interesting, like that's what I said, we can't put now this program that's beating this AlphaGo program, it cannot go and drive an autonomous vehicle. It's been designed to excel in winning the Go game. And there have been hundreds of human beings like you and I who worked countless hours for a year or two programming it to do this and optimizing it. That's what people need to understand what it takes to do, and then and the thing that it is resolved or solved for is beating a human in this game. And that's the kind of infrastructure, commitment, and thought process that needs to go in systems that need to be, or that we want to be successful with.
So how does AlphaGo and its accomplishment compare with what IBM's Deep Blue accomplished, beating the world champion chess player, and then I believe also prove that it could outperform any human player on Jeopardy? So how does it compare? Is this more advanced?
It is more advanced. I'm not as familiar with IBM's program.
But it shows more intellectual dexterity, and when you say it used fewer processes, so in other words, it's almost like it learned the shortcuts. It learned almost like it's growing neurons, like a human brain would grow neurons and understand how to operate more efficiently.
Yes, it's using neural networks, and it requires less calculations for it to be trained and for it then to be playing.
So now it's a faster machine. It's more formidable, faster, and using less power.
And using a fraction of the power. The reason I say that because that brings you to the efficiencies of calculations, the time you need to run Amazon Cloud, the time you need to train a machine to answer a question, and more often than not, yes, if you have all the time in the world to, you know, come up with some kind of a forecast, it's great. But more often than not, this AI machines need to turn on a dime. So you do a search on a mortgage. Next thing you know, within split seconds, you're looking at your Gmail account and they're selling you a mortgage rate or fixed rate by a certain bank. That means the machine figured out what you were looking at and within milliseconds is advertising what the machine thinks you're interested in just to your, you know, on the side of your computer.
Right. Yeah, you know, the next stage they have to get to there, Bahram, is I'll take a look at a book on, say, Audible. I'm a commuter, so I do a lot of audiobooks. And then what happens is it starts to haunt me. It starts to stalk me from one site to another, even after I purchased it. What next step, I wish it would just understand, oh, he's purchased this book, leave him alone. It's a sale's been made. Maybe advertise another book by that same author or something related to it. That would be a bit of a load off my mind because it gets a little annoying. Let me ask you this. Are you in the camp that says there's a lot to fear from artificial intelligence, or do you consider AI to be powerful but innocuous, but poses no threats to human beings?
What is clear to me is that over the next 20 years, our world is going to experience several fundamental transformations. It's like, how best can I describe it? It's like another industrial revolution powered by these machines that are getting smarter and smarter. And just like you said, with your experience with the book, it touches every aspect of our nation, our life, a particular sector on this planet. So, I guess the priority and challenge will be to make sure that these advances are not they're not unchecked, so we don't become irrelevant. So we need to establish some kind of a government framework or government frameworks at the global level, and a public voice that are strong enough to guide the development of AI and how the services are being applied. On that front, I think the future is not written yet. And, you know, for the sake of our children, especially our grandchildren, I hope that we can write a good one for it.
Yeah, you know, we don't all want to end up living inside the Matrix. So for sure, we want to have some parameters around this incredible new technology. Let me finish up by asking you about what you think AI is capable of doing with real estate investing, from everything from finding a project or a site to the development, the blueprints, the actual construction, the application of financing in the most efficient form, and managing a portfolio of real estate, something your organization and many others do. What are some of the, if you can kind of give some broad strokes as to what AI is going to potentially mean to real estate investing at a institutional, or even for that matter, at a retail level?
Yes, so what we are seeing AI applied to these days is on the real estate front. First is companies like Zillow that use AI for just like e-commerce companies would, to recommend properties that they want to sell. And then more on the commercial side, what we are seeing is there's a lot of companies who want to work on valuation, how we could have quicker valuations and more automated valuations that takes into account all the data that is available. So there's a number of companies working on that. And that kind of translates into the next step, becomes the transaction, how it could help with transactions, and how it can help either expedite or make quicker transactions. And from an investment perspective, again, like I said earlier, I think there will be implications of better understanding the opportunity sets that are available to investors, and better understanding the risks that are available to the investors. And the key here, which is a real threat of AI, is that any AI system uses a data set that it calls it its training set. So if there is a bias in that training set, the technology and AI tries to, you know, learn from history, and it perpetuates what we had in the past into the future. So if the training set or the data was biased, if it was, I don't know, sexist, if it was racist, since the AI is going to perpetuate that into the future through its algorithm, then it will amplify the patterns that it's seen in the historical data. So it's very, very important to make sure that we start with a nice, good data sets that, you know, we want to use to, you know, apply the AI to. So this bias is a real concern for a lot of the problems within AI, and it can be, it could have social implications as well. There is one more thing I wanted to mention,
sure,
because I think that has implication on jobs that I wanted to talk about. Another element is the impact that we need to be really careful about is jobs, human jobs. This is another big concern of AI. So gauging the net gains or losses of jobs due to robotics is really tricky, but it will have implication on our, you know, human societies and also demand, real estate demand. So one thing is clear, the need for manual labor will decline as we automate things, and the need for digital and human skills will soar. So we will have new jobs, but many jobs will disappear. And the question is the population ready and prepared for this? I read a scary statistic that almost 50% of current activities in the U.S. are technically automatable, so they can be automated using the technology we already have. So this could be one of the fastest transitions of humankind in a very short period of time, and I don't think we are ready for it. I don't think our system is ready for it, and how industry works and how it works with the government to address that is really very important right now. We need to look at our educational system. We need to look at a number of different things to see how we can address that.